Our Planet Money team has been tracking how the economic crisis that began here is affecting the rest of the world. Today, we spin the globe and end up in Russia, which, as NPR's David Kestenbaum reports, was initially hoping to dodge the downturn altogether.
Russia can sometimes seem like a weird parallel universe. In the U.S., the crisis has been headline news for a year. But for a while in Russia, you could switch on the news and not hear the word crisis.
First several months, there was a very clear instructions to the mass media outlets, do not use the word crisis.
Andrei Ilarionov is an economist and used to be economic advisor to Vladimir Putin when Putin was president.
They suggested that, okay, so Russia happened to be under the impact of American financial crisis, but Russia itself was a safe haven, island of stability, something like that.
And hey, why should Russia be affected? Russia hadn't invested heavily in subprime mortgages. It didn't care if some guy in Florida defaulted on his beach house. And the country's economy had been growing quite nicely for a decade. The ruble was getting stronger, so imports were cheaper. Ilarionov says it was as if salaries had increased 25% every year.
That is absolutely stellar behavior. If you have your income increasing by 25% a year, that's a really good time to be in the country.
Of course, the crisis did hit Russia. Jeff Costello runs JP Morgan in Russia. He says the crisis snuck in a couple ways. The first related to all that growth. Russia, like many emerging economies, was profoundly dependent on foreign investment and loans. Russian corporations got financing from abroad, which dried up in the credit crisis.
Russian corporates have actually borrowed more in international markets than any other emerging market sector. The other thing, of course, is that a lot of the Russian banks have been dependent upon foreign financing as well.
And then the price of oil fell off a cliff. For us here in the United States, great news. For Russia, terrible news, because so much of its economy depends on selling oil and natural gas.
Suddenly, all of the outputs that Russia provides to the world, whether it be oil, whether it be steel, aluminum, you know, name a commodity, Russia does it. Suddenly, there's no demand for it.
Jeff Costello and Andrei Ilarionov have different perspectives on what lies ahead for Russia. Ilarionov now works for the libertarian Cato Institute in Washington, D.C., and he's worried the crisis will lead to more government intervention and give it an excuse not to fix stuff that really needs fixing.
Even, for example, you are an entrepreneur and you decide, okay, so just I'd like to do my business. At some point, you would find people from police or from tax authorities would come to your company and say, okay, it looks like you're producing a lot of cash. It's better if you would some kind of share this cash with us. And if you try to complain, so that is why you can find yourself either in jail or in even worse situation.
Jeff Costello at JP Morgan agrees there is a lot to be done. But he says Russia has come a long way.
And I came here in 1996, and I always described it. When people would ask me, what do you like about the place? I said, what I love about the place is that every week it's different. It's chaos. It's sort of anarchy. There's new proposals. There's people running around. They sack the entire government every month. And I sort of thought that was interesting. There was a buzz about it at that time. Compared to those times, you know, the last 8 years have been one long yawn of boredom. And that's good.
Costello expects Russia will rebound pretty quickly once the crisis is past. David Kestenbaum, NPR News.
David and the rest of the Planet Money team look at what's happening all over the world on their blog and podcast. That's at npr.org/money.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.